Take two. Hello, everyone. This is Joanne. It is Thursday afternoon on February the 11th. Welcome to the podcast today. Yes, I'm finally getting around to wrapping up radio program, getting to the podcast today. It's the afternoon. Have to be honest with you, I've just been kind of a mess today, but it's been in a good way. Sometimes the Lord just kind of messes us up and wrecks us, and he's usually doing a deep work when that is going on. Went to a prayer gathering last night with some of my spiritual sisters, and it got pretty intense. You know, just the things that the Lord is pouring out, the things that he's saying, the things that everyone had to share, the ministry that took place, just being in the power of his presence. And so I give God glory, praise, and thanks just for the way that he ministers to us, ministers through us. Yeah. Sometimes we just need to invite him in to mess us up real good. Heavenly Father, here we are before you. We come before your throne, and we thank you so much for your word of truth and how it purifies us. It purges out the bad. It cleanses us, God. And so we just welcome you in to do that. Father, as people listen today, I pray that they would receive their portion. God, I ask, Holy Spirit, that you would speak to each person's heart exactly what it is that they need through these words, through these scriptures. And I ask it in the name of Jesus. Amen. I started out today with the song New Wine. One of my spiritual sisters sang this song last night. It's by Hillsong. It's been out for quite a while, but she sang it and it was just like fresh. And I've been hearing a lot of people refer to the new wine being poured out. What is the new wine? Well, Jesus referred to this, and it's found in Matthew chapter 9, verse 17. He explains, "They do not put new wine into old wineskins, or else the wineskins break, and the wine is spilled, and the wineskins are ruined. But new wine is put into new wineskins, and both are preserved." Oftentimes, wine in the scripture talks about the Holy Spirit. You know, this is Holy Spirit beverage here. Jesus changes water into wine. And a lot of times we think of wine as being intoxicating. The scripture says that wine makes the heart glad. And, you know, just this, the presence of the Holy Spirit, you know, is wine over us and in us. Scripture even says, don't be drunk with wine, in other words, alcoholic wine, but be filled with the Holy Spirit, because our experience in the Holy Spirit oftentimes is a euphoric sensation, you know, as we encounter his presence. It's as real can be. So Scripture will refer to the new wine of the Spirit. Sometimes the new wine is something that God's wanting to pour into us that is fresh and new. And it's not only for us, it is for other people to taste of his sweetness and taste of that new wine through us as well. So Jesus is explaining this principle about God pouring new wine into us as believers, but he can't pour it into an old wineskin. You know, sometimes the old wineskin can speak of what God did in a previous season in our life. An old wineskin can be an old way of relating to God or an old way of thinking. And they would put new wine, which was unfermented grape juice, they would put it into these wineskins and then let it set. And as the wine ferments and the gases are released, it would cause the wineskin to expand, you know, to contain it. But if it was put into an old wineskin that was no longer soft and it was dry and crackly, well, then when that wine started fermenting and expanding, the wineskin would crack. And it would break and you would lose the wine. So that's why Jesus is saying you need a fresh new wineskin, you know, that can expand and accommodate the fermentation. Now, there is a process that you could take an old crusty wineskin. You can soak it in water. You can, you know, put oil on it to soften. I think it's a repeated process. So you can actually take an old wineskin and take it through a process to soften it so that God can pour new wine into it. The funny thing about this, he's talking about people here. I mean, when Jesus is talking about old and new wineskins, he's talking about us. And so, are you an old wineskin or are you a new wineskin? And if you're an old wineskin, will you let him take you through a process to soften you up so he can pour in something fresh and new? Because he will. He will. One of the things that the Lord was showing me about, you know, the new wineskin, we need fresh truth. We need new truth to take us deeper into our relationship with God. I mean, there's always a next level of growth. There's always a new song, you know, that we're being called to sing. And so this wine is the truth that we need to take us into our next place with God. It calls us into deeper covenant relationship with God. As he puts the word in us and we're changed by it, we're actually going deeper in relationship with God, more friendship with him. I was thinking today of defining the relationship. I think a few years ago, they called this DTR. It's time to define the relationship. It's like if you have a boy and a girl and they like each other, and pretty soon they decide they are going together, or what used to be called going steady, or, you know, boyfriend and girlfriend. They make definition of what their relationship is, and then they go deeper at a certain point where maybe they get engaged, okay? And deeper yet when they get married. And, you know, deeper yet as they have children, as they go further. So, you know, this DTR, the relationship, is constantly being redefined, but it's going deeper and deeper and deeper in fellowship and communion. And that's kind of what it's like with God when he takes us into a greater commitment. He brings us into more consecration unto him. I was reminded today how, you know, Jesus said at the end of this, it's in Matthew 9:17, says new wine is put into new wineskins and both are preserved. And I mean, it's really important to Jesus to preserve the wine. Okay. If God's going to pour new wine into us, that's valuable to him. And he doesn't want it spilled out. Okay. He doesn't want to put it in a container that's not able to hold it. And then it ends up being wasted. Okay. He's into preservation. Part of the wine skin, I guess that God is calling me to, has to do with being willing to speak his truth. You know, even if it would cause people to not approve of me. Okay. And this is something he's walked me through for years. It's in this area of the fear of man, fearing God more than I fear the opinions of man, loving God and his approval more, fearing God more than I fear man. And so this is just one of the unique things that he does in me. And as he draws me closer in this, I really do experience more friendship and more intimacy with Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Paul said these words. This is in Romans chapter 9, because I was thinking about, you know, the conscience, you know, how we can have a clear conscience before God when he gives us something to speak and when we obey him. And Paul said this, I tell the truth in Christ. I am not lying. My conscience also bearing me witness in the Holy Spirit. Paul talked a lot about his conscience and doing what the Father had told him to do, saying what the Father had told him to say. He had a clear conscience before God. And that's kind of important. I mean, I don't like to not fully obey the Father or not fully do what he's told me to do. I want to be clean before him. Another area that we went into in this, and it had to do with risk. I felt like the Lord was talking about taking risks of faith. You know, sometimes God will give us difficult things to do. You know, go here, say this, do this, make a change here. And sometimes we feel like we're taking a risk. I've heard it said that a definition of faith is, are we willing to risk? I mean, are we willing to go out on that limb, let go into free fall, and just trust that Father's hands, you know, are right there to catch us, because they always are. I was reminded of the story of Abigail. And this is found in 1 Samuel 25. Interesting note. First part of 1 Samuel 25, it says that Samuel died. He was the prophet. And he had a lot to do in David's life. But it's interesting that the next person to speak to David was a woman, and her name was Abigail. If you know the story, David, being out in the wilderness, sent his men to her husband named Nabal to see if he would feed him. Just feed us, man. We're hungry. And he refused. And so David decided to kill all the males in the household, all the servants and everything. And Abigail was a very, very wise woman. And she went to meet David. And she made this argument or this defense. She said, you know what? Please forgive my sin. Okay. She was basically saying, I didn't see the young men when they came. And if I would have seen them, I would have, you know, answered you differently. So she says, please forgive. This is for Psalm 25:28. For the Lord will certainly make for you, David, an enduring house, because you fight the battles of the Lord, and there is no evil found in you throughout your days. Yet a man, King Saul, has risen to pursue you and seek after your life. But your life, David, will be found in the bundle of the living of the Lord your God, and the lives of your enemies he shall sling out as from the pocket of a sling. And I'll tell you what, every time I read these words, I am just amazed at the wisdom that came out of her mouth. Because she was basically saying, look, David, you're fighting the battles of the Lord, okay? Therefore, God himself is going to deal with your enemies. You don't need to take this into your hands, you know? And she was even reminding him of that battle with Goliath whenever the sling had the stone in it and the stone flew at Goliath's head. She's reminding him, you know, this is how God is going to deal with your enemies, David, because you're fighting his battles. And sometimes, if we're willing to take that risk that God wants us to take and fight the battles of the Lord, he'll deal with our enemies. He is the one who will defend us. Okay. Over and over in the Psalms, David said, the Lord is my rock. And we think that's a solid place to stand on. I think David was talking about the stone that went out of that slingshot and hit the target right where it needed to go. The Lord is my rock. He'll deal with my enemies if I take the risk, if I step out in faith and obey him. Oh, so sometimes we're asked to do hard things. Let's look at Jeremiah. This is found in Jeremiah chapter 20. He was a young prophet. Israel, they had totally blown it. They were being taken into captivity. And God gave Jeremiah some difficult things to say. And it caused a lot of backlash for him. It caused him a lot of difficulty. I think he was even the one that was kept in a pit for a while. And he had written all these words of the Lord and they burned his scrolls. He was young, okay? So he had hard messages to deliver to people. I'm going to read to you Jeremiah chapter 20, verse 7 and 9. Because he's telling the Lord, you know, I'm having a really bad time here. He says, oh Lord, you induced me. And I was persuaded by you, and you're stronger than I am, and you have prevailed. So otherwise, God, you're stronger than me, and you're the one that told me to speak these things. He says, yet I am in derision daily. He says, I'm a laughingstock for what I had to speak, what you gave me to speak, God. Everyone mocks me. And he goes on down in verse 9. He says, so this is what I said I was going to do. I'm not even going to mention God. I'm not going to speak anymore in his name. But the word that God gave him in his heart was like a burning fire shut up in his bones. And he got weary of holding it back. And he could not. He had to speak the words that God had given him. You see, Jeremiah was willing to speak it even if it meant it didn't please people. His love for God was so much greater that he was willing to risk disapproval of people in order to please God. As I was going through the day, as I said, I was kind of a mess, and I was just thinking about how God has marked us. You know, whether it's scars, battles we've been through, or just whether it's been through his goodness, through his love, through his Holy Spirit. You know, you think about all the times he's spoken to us, and he's changed us. He's danced with us. He's poured out his love on us. He's revealed himself to us. And it's a love that is so, so great. And I started singing out a song to the Lord today. It's like, How could I betray this love? How could I take everything that I know that he has done in my life and everything that he is, and how could I not speak the words that he gives me to speak? How could I betray him? How could I betray this love? And you can't. You can't. Your love for God grows so much that even if he gives you something difficult to do, you have to take a risk. You have to say something that's unpopular. Your love for him is so much greater. You're not going to betray his heart. Oh, so I was a mess. I was just a mess, just being undone by his love, that I would rather please him than have the approval of man. And I even said this some time ago. I said, if I have to choose between the truth of God and the acceptance of people, I'm going with truth. I'm going to go with the truth, what I know to be true, and I'm going to speak what he gives, yeah, no matter what it results in. And it's just that place where I'm not going to compromise. I'm not going to compromise his truth for people's approval. God help us. God help us in your church. And so I'm going to look at one more passage or a couple more passages of scripture that we talked about last night. And it's about Jesus cleansing the temple, because he did it twice. He did it once at the beginning of his ministry. It's found in John 2. Then he did it at the end of his ministry before he went to the cross. The beginning of his ministry. He went up to Jerusalem for the Passover. He found in the temple those who sold oxen and sheep and doves, and the money changers doing business. And when he had made a whip out of cords, he drove them all out of the temple with the sheep and the oxen and poured out the changers' money, overturned the tables. And he said to those who sold doves, take these things away. Do not make my father's house a house of merchandise. He did it again at the end of his ministry. So what, 2.5, 3 years later, it had to be done again. Okay. What had happened was, in the outer court of the temple, people were selling animals to be sacrificed. So if you had to travel hundreds of miles to Jerusalem to worship and you wanted a sacrifice, there would be animals there that you could buy. And, you know, they were, of course, making a killing off of it, you know, just selling it at horrible prices. It was so much corruption in the table or in the temple. It wasn't the worship that God was worthy of at all. So Matthew 21, he has to do it again at the end of his ministry. It says, Jesus went into the temple of God, drove out all who bought and sold in the temple, overturned the tables of the money changers, the seats of those who sold doves. He said to them, it is written, my house shall be called a house of prayer, but you've made it a den of thieves. Then the blind and the lame came to him in the temple, and he healed them. So I want you to get an image of Jesus Because, you know, even towards the end of his ministry, one of the accounts in the other gospels says that he came at night, he looked around at what was going on, and then he went out on the Mount of Olives to sleep, and then he came back in the morning and dealt with it and did this. And evidently there's cords somewhere in the temple. He took those and he made a whip. And so if you can imagine a stampede in the temple, oxen, sheep, the noise running everywhere. He is turning tables upside down. The money is flying everywhere and it makes a mess. It makes a literal mess in the temple. And not only that, he upsets a lot of people, but he doesn't care because the temple actually belongs to him. And he doesn't care if it makes a mess. He's wanting pure worship. And he's willing to drive out anything that hinders the worship of God and the purity of what is supposed to be there. And it says, then the blind and the lame came to him and he healed them. You know, there's salvation. There's healing. There's deliverance that is supposed to take place in the temple of God. Jesus doesn't care if it makes a mess. He just wants it done. Okay. He wants it done right. And so, is this the Jesus we know? You know, we like the nice, gentle Jesus, the loving Savior, Shepherd, the one who's all pleasant. Sometimes there's scary Jesus. There's the fierce Jesus. And when he's dealing with demons, he's fierce. And he wants them driven out. He wants them driven out of the temple. You know, whether it's the church system or whether it's our lives individually, he's fierce towards the devil. And he has that right and authority. Amen. So, I mean, even if he gives us something to do or something to say and it creates a mess, guess what? He's Lord and he's King over all, and he's worthy of the purity and the worship. Because, you know, I kind of think that, you know, sometimes people, they just get to you hearing everything's good. Yeah. Pats on the back. Attaboy. But sometimes Jesus has to say the hard things. Sometimes Jesus has to cleanse temples. And I admire how he handled, you know, the religious leaders in his day, that even if it offended them, he was provoking them to change. I mean, he was doing it from a motive of love. And I think sometimes there are places that become so hard in our hearts or in our thinking that his word has to be a hammer. This is another verse of scripture that is found in Jeremiah 23, verse 29. Let me look this up quickly. This has kind of been on my mind today. Is not my word like a fire, says the Lord, and like a hammer that breaks the rock in pieces? And, you know, just one tap from God's hammer can make a whole wall fall down. It can topple Jericho. And I think sometimes some of the things that Jesus has to say is because he's trying to break down some strongholds. Sometimes he's trying to hit the hard, stony places of our hearts or our thinking. Even if it offends us, even if it makes a mess, it's because he loves us. And he's wanting to create the new wineskin so he can pour new wine in. Amen. So anyway, I pray this has been a blessing to you. I don't know if God has a risk of faith for you to take. Or maybe he's just wanting to take you through a process so that he can pour new wine in. Okay, you be used in a fresh new way. So he's worthy of it. He's King. Even when he's fierce, he's good. And he loves you. So God bless you today. Until next time.